clinical information discussed on this program is not intended or expected to be used in any way as medical treatment, medical therapy, or medical advice.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try.
Good morning. This is Reverend Dr. Gloria Gay, and welcome to Hearing Hearts, a radio broadcast that is dedicated to touching lives, developing voices, and hearing the heart's cry of the oppressed, the distressed, the depressed, and the obsessed. We broadcast every Thursday morning at 9:30 a.m., and the call-in time is 10 o'clock a.m. However, this morning, just for today, we will have a delayed call-in time, and that will be announced. We thank WEHA for this successful collaboration with Renewing Your Mind Ministries. Today, we are addressing the topic, shopaholics, chocoholics, and alcoholics. And to do this, we have our guest clinician with us, Dr. Carl Benzio from Lighthouse Network. He is the founder and the director there. Good morning, Carl.
Hey, good morning, Gloria. Glad to be here.
And we also have with us our guest co-host. His name is Pastor Al Robinson from The Church of Jesus Christ on the Rock in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Pastor Al.
Good morning, Gloria and Carl, Dr. Carl.
Okay. So now, without any further ado, we want to go right on into our topic, shopaholics, chocoholics, and alcoholics. And we are very concerned about this particular topic because we hear about all sorts of drug addiction and alcohol addiction and substance abuse, and we don't really recognize that there may be other types of addictions that are prevalent in our society, in our culture, and we ourselves may be prone to some of these things as well. So we need to be able to discuss this topic and see where the issues lie and what can be done about it. Now, the definition of addiction in grassroots terms, because Dr. Benzio is a medical doctor and psychiatrist, and certainly he can give us the technical definition. But just in grassroots terms, the definition is the tendency to repeat the use of something or to repeat the behavior in some specific manner in spite of unfavorable consequences. Now, this being said, we want to discuss this definition and all definitions, considering what causes this behavior or repeated use of things that are not beneficial when there is no apparent psychological, neurological, or cognitive impairment. Carl, can you begin this discussion?
Sure. You know, there's a, you know, that medical definition that we have, and it usually includes, you know, using a substance, you know, is usually whenever the addictions, you know, we conceptualize them as using some kind of substance, whether that's alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, heroin, some kind of substance, using it, and you run into consequences, whether they be legal, whether they be physically hazardous to your body, they interfere with your relationships, your finances, and they worsen your functioning at work, school, or home. Some of the physical symptoms of dependence, you know, where you become dependent and have withdrawal symptoms, then when you stop it, or tolerance, meaning that you need more to get the same high than you did last week or last year. So those are some of the medical definitions that we use in psychiatry and addiction medicine. But, you know, like you said, there's, you know, probably a definition that's fuller than that. And for me, you know, the definition that I have is when we choose or pursue something other than God in a repetitive, habitual, or pattern way to get our needs met. So we all have idols of the heart, the Bible says. So, you know, if you know, listeners can think about whenever they're under stress or they're facing adversity, what do they go to first? Or what is that thing that soothes them or comforts them? Sometimes we go to God. We go to God in prayer immediately, and we search him out in a situation. But oftentimes we have our go-tos personally that we've developed over the course of time that we utilize in those situations and we turn to. Now, they can be alcohol. It can be a drug, you know, an illegal drug, whether that's marijuana or heroin or pain pills. But it can also be other objects or other things. So for some people, it's food. For some people, it's shopping, spending, gambling. For some people, it's social media or the internet or video gaming, or, you know, those technological addictions are becoming so much more potent. For some, especially men, it's productivity or work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the highest suicide rate is men over 65. As they give up their work life and their identity has been defined for 40 years by what they do, now they don't have that. That addiction to productivity, all of a sudden they sort of go into withdrawal or detox. And it's hard for them to handle that. They go into a depression, and unfortunately many commit suicide. So we have this thing that we go to, and I call it an addiction object. You know, what is that object that we go to? What is that behavior that we go to? And then we have an addiction goal. What is the goal? And the goal is usually some kind of soothing. You know, we're all addicted to comfort. You know, all of us want to be comfortable. We want the pain to go away. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be out of our comfort zone. And so whether it's chocolate to reduce the stress of a day, a drink at the end of a stressful work day, whether it's work and we become workaholics, or whether it's a substance to go to sleep or to study for an exam, you know, we all have some, you know, our go-to, and each person usually has one or two, maybe even three go-tos instead of God, that they've just become patterned in their life of using that as their soothing or coping mechanism in a situation.
That's awfully good. You know, this is just giving me a whole lot of stuff. You know, as I work with patients during hospice and all, this enables me to be a better counselor and chaplain, because we do have patients, male patients, who are struggling with the loss of independence. And certainly we have male patients who struggle with the loss of identity, as you mentioned, as they are usually finding their whole definition of self through their work, and now they're no longer working. And so they need to be able to have an outlet to even just review or talk about past experiences or their ability to do or things like that. And certainly that's a very important issue. Very important. I like this definition that you said, that you have your own personal definition. Is when we choose to pursue something other than God to have our needs met. Could you just give that definition again?
Yeah, choosing or pursuing something other than God in a repetitive, habitual, or patterned way to get particular needs met.
Okay.
You know, and so we all have needs. I mean, God's, you know, we're certainly not perfect, and we don't, you know, we can't provide all of our own needs. And so, you know, God's given us an array of things to look at, whether that's a spouse, whether that's a job, whether that's finances, so we can avoid homelessness, you know, a car to be able to get to work. So there's things that God's provided, but unfortunately, a lot of times we go to those objects first. As opposed, you know, so it's sort of the Solomon thing in Ecclesiastes, where he's going to everything under the sun instead of going to God first. And we need to go to God first and then to look at, well, what does he provide? Does he provide directly through his relationship in Jesus Christ in our life? Or does he provide through some other blessings in our life, whether that's our job, whether that's our spouse, our kids? I mean, so many parents today sort of graduate their child into an idol and push them on the top of the priority list. And so it's blocking out God, it's blocking out their own spiritual growth, and it's blocking out God helping them to cope with things. And they're so embroiled and sucked into their role as a parent and looking at their kid as an idol and almost addicted to their kids' activities or success.
You know,
I
Go ahead, Pastor Al.
No, the Bible says in the book of Corinthians to be addicted to the ministry. And what Carl had said, I'm in agreement with, because when a person is addicted to God, then their focus is going to be on godly behavior and godly instruction. I have a church in Philadelphia, and at least 85% of the people that have been in have been into long-term addiction, primarily drugs, and then they some were able to remove themselves from the drugs, but they and then they got on alcohol. And so it's important to get their mind to think on positive things. And I agree what he said about children can become idols. I have a son, and his children and his wife are idols to him. I raised him the right way, but now he doesn't want anything to do with the church. And so that's very important to let people know that become addicted to games. Some people become addicted to golf, watching a basketball on Sunday. And what he said is very, very important, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. And we need to have people focus on God, because years ago, I worked with a group we had talked prior to coming on, Teen Challenge, and these places, at the time I was working with them, they had a great success rate. And I think more people are instructed in the Word of God and how to think according to the Word of God, that they'll be able to overcome various addictions.
I agree. I do agree. Most of us, the terminology being addicted to God, we don't particularly use that, but the commitment to our faith and our faith tradition and what we believe, that has to go very deep. But, you know, I need to just mention that many times, even though we are committed to God and we try to do what we feel that we know is right, we're human, and it doesn't give us a pass, but it does help to understand why when we come home from a day of work, when we've been embroiled in family matters and in all sorts of things, when we've been worn down emotionally or physically or both, sometimes we don't reach out for prayer. We don't reach out for meditating on God, but rather we do reach out for those comfort items, those things that you mentioned, Carl. And certainly I know that I myself, my job is very emotional because I'm watching people die all day long, and I'm praying with them all day long. I am doing pastoral counseling all day long, not just with families and patients, but also with my my peers and my coworkers. Because I am the pastoral advocate there, I have to work with them. I also have to work with the staff at the various facilities. When I come home in the evening, my brain is fried, and I really need to just kick back, relax, and reach for some comfort. And for me, that comfort is in desserts. I love desserts. Well, now I can't eat the sweets like I used to. So I might munch on something else and maybe take a nap and all of those things. But I've been praying all day long. So when I come home, my first thought is not to pray again. My first thought is to relax and to get some comfort. And therein lies the rube. Carl, can
That's a great point, Gloria. You know, on our helpline, we get a lot of calls each day from many Christians who, you know, felt that they are, you know, they know God, they're saved, but yet they're struggling with an addiction or significant behavioral issue.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to recognize is that God created us, mm-hmm. and He created us to worship Him. So we have that, you know, built into our DNA, you know, is that desire and that need to be complete by worshiping Him. Now, Satan is very tricky. And so Satan is going to take that built-in, you know, functioning of ours and that built-in design and try to warp it, you know, and say, well, boy, if these people are built to worship, how can I get them, you know, their eyes off of the thing that they're supposed to worship and put it on something else? How can I put up some other facade, some other imposter, some other fake that will seemingly give them the peace, the joy, the fulfillment, the comfort that they're desiring, that they want to get and they're designed to get from God? Let me put some imposters in front of them and see if I can get them off course from God and glued onto something else to give them comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And so through our childhood years, that's what the attack is. That's what the spiritual warfare is all about. And, you know, Pastor said, you know, we're to raise up our kids in the way that they should go, in that instruction. You know, Satan realizes that, God realized that, and that's where the battlefield is in those first, you know, 10, 12, 15 years of life whenever, you know, as kids we're so gullible and we're willing to believe anything. Satan is the great deceiver. He's going to try to help us understand what that quick fix is and make it seem like that quick fix is way more self-protective, that's way more soothing, that's way more comforting than that sort of long-term, eternal relationship with this intangible spiritual God that you can't really touch, you can't really see. Why do you think that could give you peace? Look, here's a piece of chocolate, or here's a bubble gum that you can steal from the line at the grocery store, or you know, here you could, you know, hit your brother and get control and get power of that relationship. So he's going to put these little knee-jerk kind of short, quick fix shortcuts in our field of vision, and hopefully allow us to go for those. And as those sort of feed the flesh, you know, we get some immediate satisfaction from them. And so we start to use those as coping skills.
Yeah.
And that's the real dangerous area. You know, people will experiment. You know, the stages of addiction are experimentation, you know, that first or second use, then recreational use when we use it a little bit more, but just whenever it's around, you know, when it presents itself. But then that third stage is circumstantial use, and that's when we start to get some payoff. We start to get some benefit, whether that's staying up late to study and taking some Adderall or some cocaine to study, or whether that's trouble sleeping on a trip, and so you know you have a couple drinks of alcohol to get yourself to sleep. You know, you start to use it, and you get some payoff, and so that's whenever you know Satan distorts that and establishes that stronghold of, hey, look, you're getting a payoff from this. You're getting a benefit from this. All those people said this is wrong, but you're getting some benefit from it. And we don't really realize that acute psychological, spiritual, or brain chemistry deficit. All we notice is that, well, I'm getting a perk from this. It's helping me. It's soothing me.
Mm.
And so then we start to get trapped in that habitual pattern of, well, let me go to it again. And whenever I come home from work and I'm stressed, oh, that drink of alcohol the other day, that sort of relaxed me so I could, you know, handle the bills or, you know, handle, you know, the Little League game with the kids. And so we start to use it more and more. And then all of a sudden that pattern gets ingrained, just
mm-hmm.
like a new path, you know, in a field. When you first start to walk it, it's not as easy, but as you walk it more and more, that becomes a well-worn path that you just, you know, easily fall into, you know, whenever your defenses are down.
Mm. That is so good. That is so good. That really helps me. Listeners, I don't know if you have been encouraged, but certainly that does encourage me because, you know, just to go home and do a wind down process that is more beneficial to spirit, soul, and body I mean, that's very inviting to me. Maybe I do pray all day, but I'm praying for others. And coming home, I need to sit down and pray for myself and begin to give God all of my issues and all of the thoughts that have been going around and around, and asking God to release me from some of the stuff that I may not even be able to identify. But God knows what's in my heart even better than I do. And so certainly God will give me the kind of relief that these quick fixes, as you mentioned, Carl, that these quick fixes do not help at all. They don't do anything. In fact, I used to be quite a chocoholic, and from time to time I try to reach out for some, but I have to back up because I can't handle the chocolate. My health won't allow me. I have health issues that stop me from eating chocolate, which is full of caffeine, and I cannot handle the caffeine because of my heart. The sugar, I can't do that because the doctor said that my numbers for diabetes are going up, and I don't want to get into that area, so I've got to watch my carbs as well. And so the chocolate is no longer an option, a go-to for me. But then there are other things that really affect my own body, and so I have to be very careful. And I see these as opportunities. God is saying to me, okay, I want you to be healthy, not only in body, but also in your soul. My spirit is healthy because my spirit is led by the Holy Spirit. I've been born again, but I still need work. I've got work to be done. Just like many of you who are listening right now. And certainly we can overcome some of these little things that are coming to us. Now, Carl, I wanted to ask you, according to your definition, being a shopaholic or a chocoholic or any of those other areas where we actually fall into a repetitive or habitual pattern or way of life, and all, is this really an addiction, or can we put it to the side as something else?
Well, you know, I think both. I think it really is an addiction. You know, if you just go to it once, you know, and you never go back to it, then it's not really an addiction. It hasn't gravitated to the center of your heart. You know, Pastor Robinson was talking about, you know, being addicted to God. And, you know, to me, the vision I get is that, you know, what's really at the center of our heart? That everything else is orbiting around, just like the sun is the center of the universe and everything else orbits around it. You know, what's at the center of our heart? God should be at the center of our heart. Mm-hmm. But in certain situations, other things become the center of our heart, and we make God and everything else orbit around it. And that's where the dangerous, you know, that dangerous transition occurs, whenever God is pushed out and something else is pushed into the center. And to me, that becomes an addiction. But, you know, it's not hopeless. It's not like, okay, we're just stuck there, you know, and that's where we have to live the rest of our life. You know, but we do have to be intentional about, well, how do we get out of this? You know, one of the things that helped, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. You know, growing up, I struggled with anxiety. We moved around a lot when I was a kid. I stuttered. I had a lisp. I had to take speech class for 4 years in elementary school because I couldn't speak very clearly and was made fun of. Developed anxiety and depression, and ended up becoming an alcoholic and drinking, and was arrested for 6 counts of aggravated assault in the middle of medical school. And one of the big coping mechanisms that I learned to use to put, and I was raised in a Christian home, understood God, was saved as a little kid. But whenever I was in jail, God said to me, Carl, you made me your savior when you were a little kid, but you never made me the Lord of your life. Will you make me the Lord of your life? Because if you do, I'm going to change the way you think. I'm going to change your understanding of things. I'm going to, all this decision making, you know, that you've been pursuing as a psychiatrist, I'm going to bring it all together for you so you can understand your decisions better and help others make better decisions. And so it was, well, what's that instruction manual that I'm really going to use to really define my life and define how I live every moment of my day? And I had developed the book according to Carl, and that wasn't working. You know, that was putting me at the center, putting comfort, putting my emotions, not wanting to be anxious, not wanting to be depressed, not wanting to be lonely. That was at the center of my heart. And whenever I started to push that out and say, well, mine isn't working, let me use God's and apply those principles, my life really started to open up. And the discipline of confession, I think, is so important. When you said, you know, we're filled with the Spirit as Christians, but when we sin, we lose that influence.
Mm-hmm.
We don't lose the Holy Spirit, but we lose that influence. There's sin blocking our relationship with God. And in 1 John, you know, God says to confess our sins. You know, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that puts the Holy Spirit back in control, back in charge. And so the fruit of the Spirit, and we're talking about two important ones, self-control and patience.
Mm-hmm.
So self-control over that shopping, over that chocolate, over that alcohol, over that temper tantrum, you know, whatever that addiction object is, we need to have self-control over that, and then patience to be able to see other options rise to the top. Well, let me have patience to go to God and see what is God going to bring to help me in that situation. You know, so many times, you know, in our society, we don't teach people how to handle their negative feelings.
Mm-hmm.
When they feel angry, sad, anxious, lonely, fearful, overwhelmed, whatever that negative feeling is, frustration, irritation, we want to get rid of it. We don't like it. We're uncomfortable with it. We want to get rid of it as soon as possible. So we do that knee-jerk thing, whether that's eating that chocolate, whether that's yelling at somebody, whether that's, you know, smoking a joint, whether that's, you know, just turning on the TV and getting lost in TV and using that as our addiction object. You know, we just don't like those negative feelings. If people would just teach us how to handle those negative feelings,
mm-hmm.
that God and Jesus experienced those negative feelings many times in the Bible, you know, and
I like
there's
Jesus.
Going to be a peace in that that God will bring as we continue to follow the Holy Spirit's guiding in those situations.
Mm.
I like just add to what Carl said about in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess comes from the Greek word homologio, which means to say the same thing God says about sin. And when you do that every day, and God says six things, He hates, seven are abomination unto
That's
Him.
That's right.
Foul look, lying tongue, and hearts that devise wicked imaginations. He talked about the heart. When God is at the center of our heart, because Christ said, where your heart is, your treasure is also. But it also tells you in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, lay aside every weight and sin. Now, I used to love the shop. I think I used that as a way to make me happy. When things in my life weren't going right, I would go to stores, and sometimes I didn't even shop. I just looked around. And a third thing he had mentioned was how people, and you mentioned it also, Gloria, about quick fixes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the devil or Satan always offers, is a substitute that is immediate gratification, rather than God's way, which is long-term. And when you think of, I think of Moses in Hebrews, the halls of faith, it says Moses, when he become of age, he chose to be afflicted with the people of God. He made a conscious choice to be afflicted with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So, you know, that sin is always only for a season. And I used to share with a man in my church, I said, you know, Satan tries to ease you out into the waters, and, you know, until it comes up over your feet. And then all of a sudden, it's a great tidal wave, and he's taking you off course that God has you on. So it's important as a Christian to know what Romans 8:17 says. We don't even know how to pray as we ought.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And when we keep our focus on Jesus, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we're in not going to look for quick fixes. We're going to say we want to serve the eternal God who's given us the grace to serve him. It says the grace of God that brings salvation, which is a deliverance, teaches us how to live soberly and godly and righteously in this present world. Now, even the Apostle Paul, when he's talking to the church at Corinth, which is the books about marriage and all kind of situations that we face in life, you know, about worship. And he says in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, when I came to you, brethren, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. He said, I'm not coming with the wisdom of the world, those that I met on Mars. So he said, but he made this point. This is what I want to stress. I determined, he said, I made a determination not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when people that are Christians begin to focus on the long-term benefits of being a Christian over the short-term benefits of feeding their flesh, because those things of the flesh, they gratify the flesh. But those things of the spirit are going to gratify you and be everlasting. And that's the key thing. I shared with about women and about Ruth. And Ruth had a found a Boaz. But I say, don't get a lame ass. Don't get a lame ass and think that he's a Boaz. And that's what women have to do. And I think in shopping, you know, sometimes people eat because they want a woman, but they replace it with, you know, a woman that's living celibate wants a man and vice versa. And okay. So, you know, I just wanted to interject that in.
Okay. We have to take a station break, when we come back, we're going to be talking about compulsive shoppers, people who shop to distract their feelings, trophy shoppers, people who find the perfect accessory for outfits, high-class items, image shoppers, people who like to pick up a tab but drive expensive cars and have highly visible stuff, bargain shoppers, people who buy stuff they don't need just because it's a good deal, codependent shoppers, people who like to shop to gain love and approval, bulimic shoppers, people who buy and return and buy and return, collector shoppers, people who have just to compete. They have many objects and or objects of different color and the same style. So we're going to talk about that, but not just in shopping, also in other areas. The phone lines will also be open. Our call-in number is 609-641-8870. And you can call in with a question or a comment. This is WEHA 88.7 FM on your radio dial, or you can reach us on the web at www.WEHAGOSPEL887.com.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring.
Hi, this is Dr. Thelma.
What's going on, everybody? This is Christian Dupree Ragland.
From In the Community with Dr. Thelma and Christian.
Listen, I need a favor. How would you like to have one of your WEHA personalities talk about your business, your event, your church, or et cetera on the air of one of our episodes?
You can call the station at 609-641-8870, or you can visit the station, 3028 Fire Road in Egg Harbor Township, or you can log on to the website, www.WEHAGospel887.com. And say that you would like to sponsor In the Community with Dr. Thelma and Christian.
So listen up. We need you to do this for us. Support the radio station, and we will support you. You guys have a blessed day.
Are you running out of space? Home office overflowing? The Storage Inn can help you regain your closets and garages. We have great moving specials and complimentary use of our big yellow truck to collect your items. We have a quarter available to assist you in loading. We have sizes from Bitty Bitty to Among Us, the Storage Inn, in Egg Harbor Township at 646-6400 to find the right size for you. Also, online at storageinn.net.
Hi, my name is Sister Girl, the host of Testify with Sister Girl, and I would like to tell you about our Let It Play for 36 a Day sponsorship opportunity. For $36 a day, your announcement can be heard by thousands of listeners here on Gospel 88.7 FM and 99.9 FM. And don't forget about the World Wide Web. For just $36 a day, yes, $36 a day, your announcements will be aired over 10 times a day, which will cover morning, afternoons, and evening drive times. Restrictions apply. For further information on broadcasts, sponsorships, and announcements, call us at 609-641-8870. This is your girl, Sister Girl, telling you to let it play for 36 a day.
Our biggest losers are always winners. We are looking for 50 people who are seriously committed to losing 25, 50, 75, 100 pounds over the next 6 to 12 months. You must be willing to be coached. Must be willing to eat every 3 hours.
Willing to learn lifestyle changing habits of health.
Want to lose unhealthy weight and keep it off for life. Willing to take charge of your own health and life. Are you sick and tired of being overweight and unhealthy and want to get back into the game and
start winning?
Call us now to get started. 609-383-9121. 609-383-9121. Or check out the website www.drmillercairo.tsfl.com.
In the House of the Lord Ministries Incorporated, a place of hope, refuge, and deliverance, Prophet Evangelist Derek Sorrell presents Youth Against Drugs and Gangs Conference for ages 8 and up with guest speakers, Officer Christopher Taggart, Pleasantville Police, gang investigators, Jonathan E. Diego, attorney, guest performance by rapper Rick Harmony. Refreshments will be served, all taking place Saturday, July 12, 2014 at 1 p.m. at 1414 Dowdy Road, Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, 08234. For more information, 609-705-2600. Say no to drugs.
7 for 88.7. Here at WEHA Gospel 88.7, we are committed to spreading the gospel one song at a time. By contributing $7 a month, you can assist us in faithfully broadcasting the gospel. To donate your 7 for 88.7, go to our website at www.wehagospel887.com or mail your check or money order payable to Spread the Gospel Incorporated, P.O. Box 1674, Pleasantville, New Jersey, 08232. Join the 7 for 88.7 movement.
Have you considered WEHA for your announcements and broadcasts? We can be heard on 88.7 FM in Ocean County in cities like Barnegat, Long Beach Island, Manahawkin, Tuckerton, Little Egg Harbor, New Gretna, in Atlantic County, in cities like Port Republic, Smithville, Pomona, Egg Harbor Township, Northfield, Pleasantville, Absecon, Atlantic City, and on 99.9 FM in cities like Egg Harbor City, Elwood, Hamilton, and Mispah. And don't forget the World Wide Web, www.wehagospel887.com. For more information on broadcasts and announcements, 609-641-8870. You're only a dial away from being heard on WEHA. Gospel 88.7 WEHA. Spreading the gospel one song at a time.
Okay, we're back now with Hearing Hearts, and our topic for today is shopaholics, chocoholics, and alcoholics. This is Dr. Gay, and we are pleased to have with us our guest clinician, Dr. Carl Benzio of Lighthouse Network, and also our guest co-host, Pastor Al Robinson of Jesus Christ on the Rock Church in Philadelphia. Before we left, and I'd just like to mention also that our phone lines are now open and you are free to call in with your questions or comments. Before we went off onto our station break, I mentioned several different kinds of shoppers, shopaholics. And certainly, I might have considered myself a type of a shopaholic at one point. And I don't know, I think I might have fit into some of those, many of those different categories. But I thank God for the discipline. And certainly, many of us, as we listen to what's being said by our clinician and by our guest, our co-host, we are able to extract a lot of information. But some of the stuff that
Gospel 88.7 and 99.9 WEHA.
But some of the information that is given to us at times doesn't really resonate because we're not there, especially when with some of the scriptures and so forth that are being said. I know myself personally, and certainly I've been a pastor for over 26 years, and I am a lover of God, but there are just some areas where I'm just not perfect yet. And certainly I will not be perfect until the Lord calls me in this life. But I'm speaking to you listeners, those of you who say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, I'm not as good as Paul was, or I'm not perfect like Christ is. I'm not able to do all of those things. What do I do right now? What do I do with these issues that I have? What do I do when I have become diabetic because of my eating habits, or when I have run into serious financial difficulties because of my spending habits, or when I have run into serious problems with drinking or all sorts of things? What do I do? How do I recognize this, that this is not just social drinking or just a few bites here and there? How do I recognize that I need help? And how do I go about getting help? Do I really need professional help for being a shopaholic? Do I really need professional help for being an alcoholic? Can someone tell me or show me what are the warning signs? What are the red flags that says I am headed towards the deep end because I may be in denial? Carl, can you help us with this?
Sure. The first is just the recognition that we all have idols of the heart. You know, we all have objects that we go to periodically instead of God. We all have trouble managing our feelings and have developed some inappropriate coping skills or knee-jerk coping skills to deal with that. So to think that, well, I don't have any of these, you know, would be ridiculous for anybody. I mean, I have them, you have them. You know, if we're human, we have them. We're born into a world of sin. We are, you know, we have a flesh, you know, just like Paul writes in Romans 7, there's things I know I shouldn't do, but I do, and the things I should do, I don't do. And, you know, that war back and forth in the process that he describes so aptly in Romans 7 is a very clear, you know, discussion of those things that we look at as our addiction process. So one is just a recognition that you have one. The Bible says you do. That's why the first commandment is there, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because God knew that that was going to be our biggest problem, having other gods before God, you know, putting something else in the center of our heart that we've been talking about. So that's the first thing, is just recognition. And don't be embarrassed that you're saying I have one, because everybody has one. Mm-hmm. You know, you're no different than anybody else. It's not like you're terrible and everybody else is great, where those people that really wear the nice suits in church are the holy ones and everybody else are losers, or the people that sit on the end of the pew and have straggly clothes on are the losers, or the people that use heroin, you know, are the failures. We all have failed according to God's standard. We all have idols of the heart. We all have something that we go to other than God. So get over that. Let's, you know, fess up and let's move forward with his, you know, what he gives us as far as opportunities, you know, to grow. Second thing would be, hey, there's answers. Mm-hmm. You know, so one, you know, I have this condition, but two, God provides answers. And we have to be intentional about applying the answers. You know, I have, you know, many people that say, well, you know, God said he promised a peace, but I can't find it. I said, well, where are you looking for it? And we find that they're looking at pornography or they're looking at a bottle. Well, I know that God doesn't hide peace in those places. You know, so if we're really looking for that peace he promises, we need to look in the right places. Third is, you know, a lot of times people think that, well, to do something new is hard. It takes a lot of effort. It's difficult. And I'm not going to lie to you. You know, it's not easy. It wasn't easy for me to turn my life around, to give up, you know, my addiction object. Mm-hmm. But the other way was harder.
Yeah.
You know, the old way I was living life had way more consequences, had turmoil, had heartache, had pain I'd caused myself, pain I'd caused other loved ones in my life, financial difficulties, legal difficulties, academic. I was up in front of the review board for cheating in school. I mean, there were so many problems, and it was so much harder the other way. Satan just kept on tricking me into thinking it was other people's fault, or it'll get better if you just do this, or that's not really happening, you know, and I was in denial. But the old life was way harder. You know, some people think that the Christian life, well, it's a lot of sacrifice, it's a lot of compromise, it's difficult. Yeah, it has some sacrifice in it, but my old life had a lot of sacrifice in it, had a lot of torture, had a lot of heartache. I was reaping the fruit of the flesh. None of that is good. You know, I wasn't reaping any of the fruit of the Spirit. So to realize, well, what is that? You know, yeah, the new life is effort. And there's some discomfort and awkwardness into stepping into it and applying it daily. But the old life is much harder. And the last thing is, you know, we talked just before the break about consequences and that the, you know, that fleshly way has some immediate payoff and the godly way has long-term payoff. But I want to tell the listeners that the wrong way has immediate damages.
Yes.
Immediate damages to your brain chemistry. You know, when you make a wrong decision, that impacts your actual brain chemistry right there in that moment. Just like when you do a push-up, microscopically your muscles just got a little stronger.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a good decision, your brain chemistry gets stronger. But when you make a wrong decision, your brain chemistry gets weaker. Your circuitry gets short-circuited right there. Psychologically, you get damaged by doing something immature. So it, you know, gravitates you to doing more immature things.
Yeah.
And then spiritually, obviously, you commit a sin that separates you temporarily from God, that puts the flesh on the throne of your heart and not the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the fruit of the flesh is what we reap, not the fruit of the Spirit. Who wants to reap the fruit of the flesh? I certainly don't.
That's right.
For 20 years of my life. It was terrible. Why would I sign up for that willingly? So to know that you have acute consequences when you indulge your addiction object. But when you do the right thing, you get acute benefits. Yeah, the Christian life has long-term rewards, but it has acute rewards physiologically, psychologically, and especially spiritually right in that moment to continue to empower you, to influence you properly, to give you, you know, control and self-control and power to resist those tempting strongholds that Satan has. And the more we resist, little by little, those strongholds will melt away.
Yeah.
Just like when you stop using that path in the woods, it starts to get overgrown, and it's not a path anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and you can start to walk a new path. It's a little difficult at first, but it gets smoother and smoother and smoother as you walk it. So you have to have a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a strategy every day. Most people that I know just, you know, maybe they have their devotions in the morning, they have their prayer time, but then they walk out, and they just go random.
Mm-hmm.
Into the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder why they got beat up and annihilated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we don't have a strategy, we know the evil one does have a strategy.
Yeah.
He's going to use that strategy over and over and over. So just like any game, just like when you drive to work, if you don't have a strategy of how you're going to get to work, you're never going to get there.
That's right.
If you don't have a strategy to put on your makeup, you're not going to look good.
That's right.
You know, we have a strategy for everything except our spiritual walk, our daily life management. So you need a strategy that you can follow, that works for you, that is going to lead you to positive things. You know, just when Peter was warned, hey, look, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows, he rehearsed his decision. But then he went from the Last Supper, and he didn't really have a strategy. He was just going to knee-jerk wing it. And when somebody asked him, like, no, I don't know him. I'm not with him. You know, he knew what the right answer was, but there was something he was addicted to, whether it was he was addicted to his own physical comfort, he didn't want to get tortured, he didn't want to get belittled or ostracized. We're not quite sure what his idol was in that moment, but he had some other idol other than Jesus, you know, who had even just given him a warning, hey, look, this is going to happen. be prepared, have a strategy. He didn't, and he choked.
Very good, very good. Carl, you're really ministering to me this morning. Listeners, those of you who are tuned in, if you'd like to give us a call, a comment, or a question is very acceptable. If you don't want to speak on the air, certainly you can call and leave a message, and we can read it over the air. If you'd like, if you need help in some area, certainly we are available for that. I just like to mention, with everything that we've talked about, and as Carl has mentioned, the gratification and the short term and the long term gratification, I'd just like to just mention a little something that I've run across about chocolate in particular. In addition to sugar and fat, chocolate contains several substances that can make it feel addictive. And certainly, Carl, I know you are very much aware of these substances, tryptophan and tryptophan, which is an essential amino acid that is a precursor to serotonin and a neurotransmitter. Another one is, okay, there's some words here that I would need
Big words, yeah.
I would need to break them down. But the bottom line is there are chemical elements in chocolate that'll make you feel a certain way. I know for me, chocolate will help me relax and eventually fall asleep.
Well, that's why those substances are difficult, because they have an acute toxin in them that affects brain chemistry and decision making, and as well as just being that addictive process. Mm-hmm. But what we have learned as we understand the brain better, that even non-biological things, like in a casino and a slot machine, mm-hmm. you know, or gaming and or watching pornography, even though you're not taking in anything biologically, mm-hmm. those behaviors biologically alter your brain chemistry. So physical elements are more toxic, like marijuana and alcohol and painkillers, mm-hmm. but even these behaviors, whether it be shopping, gambling, pornography, addiction to power, to control, sex, all those things are also altering brain chemistry a little bit slower than an actual toxin, but still the same long-term adverse effects on our brain and our physiology that, you know, we want to avoid. God gave us our mind. It's an incredible gift to us, our mind and free will. We need to be good stewards. That's how we're going to get the most out of this life, if we steward these two great gifts as best as possible.
Mm-hmm. Al, did you want to add something to that?
Certainly. One of the key things that the New Testament talks about is the mind, whether you use your mind for good and evil. I had got disconnected for a moment. But when Carl was talking about idols, one of the things it says in 1 John 5:20 is that Christ has come and given us an understanding of him that is true, and we are in him is true, even his son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Any other thing that's in your life that's not the true God is going to lead you to a false path. After that, it says, you know, keep yourself from idols. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned earlier that my son, his children is his idol, and his wife and his mother-in-law. And so you can have people that focus on that, trying to blot out that in life we're all going to have difficulties. We're all going to have concerns, whether they're financial, whether they're health issues. He was talking about, you were talking about your heart, how you cannot eat chocolate because it has some chemical in it that affects your heart. Well, 7 years ago, I had diabetes, and I was diagnosed with diabetes, so I had it. And I went to God. I went to God and said, God, tell me what to eat. And I began to eat an enormous amount of peanuts. And then I researched it, and it was saying what peanuts had a good effect on diabetes. And bottom line, I changed my whole eating habits. I've been to the doctors, and I've been, and they give you that C3, whatever it is, and it's gone. But I had to put my trust in God. I'm not saying everybody should do this. I'm not even advocating that. But I am advocating if you have built up a certain amount of trust in God, when he's, you should listen to him. The Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. He didn't say your brain, but he's talking about your mind and places. Trust exactly. in the Lord. But each person has to grow into that place.
That's
each person
right.
has to. No, I tell people in my church, hey, I'm not on medicine. I went to a doctor, and he diagnosed me years ago. I went there, and when I got there, he said, you got sugar diabetes. But God had spoke to me on the way up and said, no, you don't. And then even his nurse practitioner working on the doctor, he said, you better watch it, just like you had previously said. You're on the borderline. Mm-hmm. And I never took this dispense because you have good doctors, you have bad doctors. You got good pastors, you got bad pastors. Anything. So it's important that we look at what God says we are to do with our mind. And that's why, you know, I thought what he said was so on point, and what you're saying is on point. Because I was a shopaholic in thrift stores and yard sales. And when something
yeah,
was popping me, I went to thrift stores every day. I hit as many as I could or yard sales. But then I began to cast all my care, like, upon him. And now I spend an inordinate amount of time in the Word. And I say, to God be the glory, because the Bible clearly says, what is it that we have that we did not receive? And if we did receive it, why do we boast as if we did not
That's
receive
right.
it? Because a lot of people don't know that God is blessing them in spite of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of these people that are addicted.
Now, if listeners can just, you know, picture this, you know, we're talking about addictions and, you know, that addiction behavior, whether it's a substance or whether it's a, what we call a process addiction or a behavior like shopping or chocolate or pornography, it's like a series of dominoes, and the behavior is like the 15th domino. And what people try to do is they try to stop it at the 14th domino, whenever the dominoes have already had a head of steam, getting to that 15th domino. And I think what we're all in agreement and we're all saying is that, you know, we need to look at those earlier dominoes.
Yeah.
And those early dominoes are those spiritual, you know, what do I really believe in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can say I believe in God, but whenever push comes to shove during my day, what am I really putting my faith in? Am I putting my faith in chocolate, my bank account, my good looks? You know, some people are addicted to plastic surgery. We see some of these Hollywood stars, and it's how they're mutilating themselves because they're addicted to, you know, the vanity and how they look. So we need to look at, well, what are we putting our trust in? What are those earlier dominoes? Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I said, make the, you know, God the Lord of my life, well, then that's, if he's the Lord, well, what, that makes him authority. And so what has he, you know, what are his orders or what are his rules or whatever his principles of living? And that's what we get from the Bible, and that's what our pastor is talking about, being in that Word so that we can only be just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And doers of the Word require strategy and intentionality. And once we start to get at those first five or seven dominoes, we don't even have to worry about domino 15 anymore, because there's no head of steam going towards domino 15. We've started a new path of dominoes that are, you know, have positive ramifications and positive behaviors and fruit in our life. And so that, you know, most addiction facilities really look at domino 15. Well, how can I stop domino 15? And we call it behavioral management or behavioral control. And what we really want to do is we want to get into that mind, get into that heart, so we can get at those first five dominoes. Because once we impact that, you know, the row of dominoes is going to be so much more freeing and lead to, you know, righteous paths and tremendous fruit in a person's life.
Mm. Well, you know, go ahead.
I was saying, you know, like, you're talking about behavior, you know, management, and about the domino effect. And I think the key thing is, from a Christian standpoint, is make sure that you have yourself on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Because today, there's many Christs, and there's many false prophets or preachers out there, and it's important that people understand who they are worshiping. I'll give you an example. Like, for example, there's some groups that call themselves Christian, and you think that they're worshiping the same Jesus, but if you read their literature, they're not even worshiping the same Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people are even going to so-called Orthodox churches. I heard a man on the radio, he was the head of the Southern Baptist Theological Schools, and he was saying that in their own school, there was a break from Orthodox Christianity, and a lot of people began to bring in philosophies and things of the world. And he said this, he said to those people that were coming in, had been away from the church a long time, he said, make sure you are a Christian before you call yourself a Baptist. And so it's a lot of people that are calling themselves Christians but aren't even on the foundation of Christ. And so they don't use the Bible as an instruction book. I use this acronym, the Bible, Basic or Believer's Instruction Before Leaving Earth. And that's where, you know, for people that are saying they're Christians, they need to use that. Now, non-Christians, they need to plug in to this as well as into Christianity, particularly if they're at the babe level. They need to know instruction, and that in call is good instruction.
Very good. Unfortunately, it is now time to bring this broadcast to an end for today. We want to thank our guest clinician, Carl Benzio, Dr. Carl Benzio of Lighthouse Network in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Carl is with us very often, and we are grateful to God for sending him our way. We also want to thank our guest pastor, co-host, Pastor Al Robinson of the Church of Jesus Christ on the Rock in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And certainly we thank WEHA and its owners and staff. But most of all, we thank the Lord God Almighty for the insight of Deacon William Hawks and Dr. Gloria Gay in this collaboration. WEHA is a nationally recognized nonprofit radio station that reaches all of Atlantic County and parts of Ocean County, as well as the World Wide Web. We therefore solicit your donations and your sponsorship to keep this radio station alive. Please consider sponsoring any of our popular broadcasts or simply donate to the continued life of WEHA. You can do so by sending a check or money order to Spread the Gospel Incorporated, Post Office Box 1674, Pleasantville, New Jersey, 08232. Or you can go to the website, www.wehagospel887.com, and you can donate online. Hearing Hearts will rebroadcast later this week, possibly this afternoon at 5 o'clock, and sometime next week. So until next week, be blessed.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left. Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try,
but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn. Truth is, it's time to stop laying.